بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن، صلوات الله البر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In today's lesson, we'll continue inshaAllah explaining the creed of Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi. This creed, that is the creed of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, meaning the majority of this nation are on this belief. In the following statements, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank and reward him greatly for all what he did for this nation, we'll talk about Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, Al-Hawd, Al-Shafa'a, and other matters insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi said what means the Mi'raj, meaning the ascension of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the seventh sky and what is beyond is true, meaning we have to believe in it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was certainly taken on a night trip, al-Isra. While awake, he was taken up in body to the heavens, so it's not a dream. And then to whatever heights Allah willed for him. Allah honored him with what Allah willed. He revealed unto him that which he revealed. Allah Ta'ala said, مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَآ, which means the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not wrong about what it saw. So may Allah raise his rank in the hereafter and before, and protect his nation from that which he fears for it. In this statement, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank, is referring to the miracle of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, which is the night trip that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took from Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. That was the land trip. Then Al-Mi'raj, which is the ascension of the Prophet from Al-Aqsa Mosque to the seventh sky and to what is beyond. Then the return to Mecca. This miracle took place in one third of a night. Although the non-believers at that time, the non-believers of Quraysh, used to go to the land of Asham, Palestine, Syria, Jordan and Lebanon. These are called the lands of Asham. It used to take him 1 month, that trip, to the countries of Asham. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there Then he ascended to the seventh sky, then he came back to Mecca, all of that in 1/3 of a night. He told Umm Hani, the sister of Imam Ali radiallahu anhu, about his trip. Then he told other companions. When the non-believers heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that he went to Jerusalem and came back in one night, they couldn't believe it. They went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and they said to him, can you believe your friend? He's claiming that he went to Jerusalem and came back in one night. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, did he really say that? They said, yes. Then Abu Bakr said, then bear witness that I believe him. They said to him, you believe him that he went to Jerusalem and came back in one night? He said, I believe him in what is more than this. I believe him in the revelations of the sky. So if he believes him in the revelations about the unseen things, why wouldn't he believe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this matter? And they said, because of this, he was called As-Siddiq, the one who used to back the Prophet and stand by his side and tell him that the Prophet is truthful. Now, had the Prophet told them that he saw in a dream that he went to Jerusalem and came back, the non-believers wouldn't have objected to him. Because a person may see himself in a dream that he went to Germany and came back in one night. So if you say to your friends, I saw last night that I went to Germany and came back, they say, yeah, that's a dream. So had the Prophet told them that I saw a dream that I went to Jerusalem and came back, the non-believers wouldn't have objected to the Prophet. But the fact that he told them he took this trip in body and soul, he was awake, he wasn't asleep, he took that trip to Jerusalem and came back in one night, that's what they found difficult to be believed in. For that reason, they gathered some of the non-believers who had visited Al-Aqsa Mosque previously, and they asked the Prophet to give them a description of Al-Aqsa Mosque. It was mentioned that Angel Jibreel alayhi salam raised Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Prophet was able to see it as if it is in front of his eyes. And the Prophet started describing Al-Aqsa Mosque wall by wall, corner by corner, window by window, to an extent that the non-believers said, as for the description, it is absolutely right. So they couldn't deny that the description the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them was true. So that explains and proves that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took this night trip in body and soul. It wasn't a dream. Al-Isra is mentioned in the Quran explicitly. There is a whole surah, chapter in the Quran called Al-Isra. That's the land trip. Allah Ta'ala said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. Very explicit. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا. Praise be to Allah who enabled his slave to take the night journey. So Asra in Arabic is used for the night trip. So when you say Sara, it means at night. He walked at night. But to confirm that it is a true matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the word laylan. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan. So even if Allah didn't mention the word laylan, it is known from the meaning of the word asra that it was at night. But that word laylan would emphasize the meaning of it and would add confirmation to it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indeed took that night a trip from Al-Masjid Al-Haram to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Because there is a chapter in the Quran about it, and this ayah is very, very explicit to confirm the matter of Al-Isra, the scholars of Islam said, whoever denies Al-Isra is in fact belying Al-Quran, and whoever belies Al-Quran is a blasphemer. Because it is mentioned explicitly. As for Al-Mi'raj, it is not mentioned explicitly in the Quran, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what is close to being explicit. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah confirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel alayhi salam for the second time in his life in his original form. Where? At Sidrat al-Muntaha. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى, meaning for the second time. عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. Where is Sidrat al-Muntaha? In the seventh sky. It starts, its trunk is in the sixth sky, it goes up to the seventh. He saw him at Sidrat al-Muntaha. عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى. After that there is paradise, after the seventh sky. So this ayah implicitly talks about Al-Mi'raj in a way that is close to being explicit. So the scholars took from it proof that this ayah proves Al-Mi'raj, the ascension of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the seventh sky. That's why the scholars said the one who denies Al-Mi'raj while being unaware of this ayah that is taken as proof about the ascension of the Prophet does not blaspheme, but he commits a major sin. However, the one understands from these ayahs that they confirm the ascension of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and despite that he denies the Mi'raj, the ascension of the Prophet, he blasphemes. Because now it's a case of stubbornness. But we're talking about the one who didn't understand from it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended to the skies. He never heard of this. He can't trash and deny the ascension of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the seventh sky. However, Al-Isra is a different case, because Al-Isra is mentioned explicitly in the Quran, as we mentioned earlier, and there is a whole chapter that talks about Al-Isra. For that reason, the one who denies Al-Isra is in fact belying Al-Quran, and the one who belies Al-Quran is a blasphemer. So Al-Isra is confirmed in the Quran. Al-Mi'raj, also there is proof about it in the Quran, although it is not as explicit as the proof of Al-Isra, but we have to believe in this miracle, Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, that it is true, as Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank, mentioned. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended to Sidrat al-Muntaha, and there he saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form, an angel with wings. Angel Jibreel alayhi salam has 600 wings. If he were to spread out two of them, he will block the earth from east to west. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him for the first time in Mecca, in a place called Ajiyad. That's when Angel Jibreel asked the Prophet and said to him, supplicate Allah and ask him that you see me in my original form. In most cases, Jibreel used to come to the Prophet in the shape of a companion called Dihya. As you know, the angels are not males nor females. But if they were to take a shape of a human being, they would take the shape of men, but without the inner parts and without the private parts. The outer shape is a shape of a man. So he used to come to the Prophet in the shape of the companion Dihya. So for the first time he told him, ask Allah, ask your Lord that you see me in my original form. The Prophet supplicated Allah. Jibreel, who was in the human form, disappeared. Then he came from the east. And the Prophet was looking and he blocked the eastern horizon, all of it. Just imagine this scene. He disappeared and he came from the east, blocking the whole horizon. As he was coming closer and closer, he blocked the vision to the sky. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this, he couldn't handle it and he fell unconscious. Quickly, Jibreel alayhi salam took the human shape and hugged the Prophet until the Prophet woke up. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, I never knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a creation that big in size. Then Jibreel alayhi salam said to him, Allah created 600 wings for me and I didn't spread out except two. Two wings were enough to block the vision, to block the whole horizon. So that was the first time Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel in his original form. During Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, when the Prophet ascended to the skies, he was with Jibreel and Jibreel was in the human form. When they reached Sidrat al-Muntaha, they separated from each other. The Prophet continued forward where he reached a place and he was able to hear the angels copying from the preserved tablet, the creaking of the pens as they were copying from the preserved tablet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him whatever Allah willed for him to get during that night. When the Prophet came back to Sidrat al-Muntaha, he saw Jibreel in his original form. And that was for the second time. And Jibreel alayhi salam, out of getting blessings from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started getting closer and closer to the Prophet, to an extent that the distance between Jibreel and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was less than 2 cubits. But the Prophet didn't fall unconscious at this time. Why? Because if you can remember when we talked about this miracle, before the Prophet took this night trip, his chest was cut open and his heart was washed with Zamzam water, and the angels brought a container from paradise filled with wisdom and strength, and it was poured into his chest. Then it was brought back as it was. So that helped the Prophet to see the wondrous creations of Allah Azza wa Jal in the upper world without fainting. So he saw Jibreel. Jibreel came closer and closer to that distance, less than 2 cubits, meaning less than 1 meter. And the Prophet didn't fall unconscious. That was for the second time. So now you understand the ayah. If we say it to you, when Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel. نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى, for the second time. Where? عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى, at that place. It is blasphemous to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came closer to God, or they say God came closer and closer to Muhammad until the distance between them was similar to the distance between the eyebrows. This is not the belief of the Muslims, because proximity, distance, is an attribute of the creations, bodies, objects. So when you have two bodies, you can say the distance between them is 1 meter, 50 centimeters, and the like. But when you are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, Allah is not a body. So proximity, distance, does not apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is the creator of distances, proximities, places, directions, and Allah exists without a place. So that's the meaning of the ayah. The Prophet saw Jibreel in his original form for the second time at Sidrat al-Muntaha. And that proves the miracle of al-Mi'raj, the ascension of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the seventh sky. Also, Imam Abu Ja'far, may Allah raise his rank, talked about another matter that is important for a Muslim to believe in, which is Al-Hawd, the basin. He said the Hawd, which Allah honored him with as an honor for this nation, is true. Meaning, Allah will honor this nation by drinking from this Hawd basin before entering paradise. When they drink from the basin, they will never experience any thirst afterwards. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, Hawdi masiratu shahr. This is how wide it is, a month distance. وَزَوَايَاهُ سَوَاءٌ مَاءُهُ أَبْيَضُ مِنَ اللَّبَنِ. The drink in that basin is whiter than milk. وَطَعْمُهُ أَحْلَى مِنَ الْعَسَلِ. It's sweeter than honey. وَأَذْكَى رَائِحَةً مِنَ الْمِسْكِ الْأَذْفَرِ. Its smell, fragrance, is nicer than the pure musk. كِيزَانُهُ عَدَدُ نُجُومِ السَّمَاءِ. The utensils used to drink from, like cups and the like, are more than the number of the stars in the sky. The river of Al-Kawthar, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified the Prophet with in the hereafter, by his saying, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala privileged the Prophet with the river of Al-Kawthar, which is in paradise. It originates in paradise, but it pours into the Hawd, outside paradise, to this basin. So when the believers drink from this basin, after that, when they enter paradise, they will never experience any thirst. However, they will drink in paradise from rivers made of honey, rivers made of milk, rivers made of pure water, rivers made of wine, but not like the wine of this universe in this world. The wine of this world is stinky and intoxicating. That wine is different. As Allah said in the Quran, لَذَّ, tasteful, للشاربين, for the drinkers. Meaning when they drink from these rivers, it's a type of enjoyment for them. It's not because they are thirsty, no. Because after they drink from the basin, they will never experience any thirst in paradise. However, they drink from these rivers out of enjoyment, to add and to increase that enjoyment in paradise. So we believe in the basin, al-hawd. He said the shafa'a, intercession, that the Prophet saved for his nation until the day of judgment is true, as has been related in the hadith. There are more than one hadith that talks about intercession, al-shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised every prophet the fulfillment of a supplication he makes. So whatever supplication he makes will be fulfilled. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said every prophet rushed in making that supplication to be fulfilled, but I saved mine as intercession for my nation on the day of judgment. That's the meaning of the intercession that is saved for this nation in the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saved that supplication to be in the form of intercession for the day of on the day of judgment for his nation. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day will be granted the great intercession, or the greatest intercession, al-shafa'a al-uzma. On that day, the sun will be very close to the heads of the people in the assembly place. Now the distance between us and the sun is thousands of miles. In the hereafter, it will be 1 mile. One of the scholars said, you feel as if you can touch it by your hand. This is how close it is. The sun will be very close. People start sweating at that time. Some will be in the shade of the arsh. When there is no shade on that day except for the shade of the arsh. Others who are exposed to the sun, the non-believers will be exposed to the sun. Some Muslim and the Muslim sinners, those who died committing major sins without repentance, will be exposed to the heat of the sun on that day. And they go to Prophet Adam, asking him to ask Allah Azza wa Jal to relieve the distress. He would say to them, I can do nothing for you. Go to Nuh, Noah. They will go to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. He will say, I'm not the one. Go to Abraham. They go to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He will tell them, I'm not the one. Go to Moses. They go to Moses. He will say to them, I'm not the one. Go to Jesus. They go to Jesus, he will say, I'm not the one. Go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They will go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's when he prostrates to Allah azza wa jal under the arsh. And it will be said to him, lift your head, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will fulfill your request and intercede for them, and Allah will grant you that intercession. And he will be granted this greatest intercession to relieve them from this. With that great intercession, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors the Prophet with, some Muslim sinners who deserve to be tortured in hellfire will be forgiven and will be admitted into paradise without receiving any punishment. And some whom Allah willed for to be punished in hellfire, they will be punished, but because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will come out of hellfire before they serve that time, period of time that they deserve because of their sins by the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the Muslims who are not amongst the enormous sinners, by the intercession of the Prophet, they will be elevated in ranks in paradise. Because that intercession will be for every single Muslim, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. In another hadith narrated by Ibn Hibban and At-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Shafa'ati li ahli al-kaba'ir min ummati." My intercession is for the enormous sinners of this nation. Meaning those are the ones who are more in need of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shafa'ati, the hadith says, li ahli al-kaba'ir, to the major sinners of my nation. They are in need of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant intercession, the ability to intercede, will grant to the righteous scholars, the practicing scholars, al-ulama ul-amilun, to the righteous believers, al-awliya, to the angels, to the martyrs. The martyr in the hadith, it is mentioned that he intercedes for 70 of his family members. Even the child that died under puberty will intercede for his Muslim patient parents. So everyone will be given a sort of intercession, and he will be able to help others, because intercession means they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good things for others. They ask Allah for good things for others. This is the intercession. Everyone will be given a type of intercession, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is given the greatest type of intercession, al-shafa'a al-uzma. That is specific for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why, you know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prostrates under the arsh and he says, "Oh my Lord, my nation, my nation." Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is merciful, compassionate. He will be asking Allah Azza wa Jal to relieve them from that distress. That is the greatest intercession the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be given. Although all those types that we mentioned, the practicing scholars, the righteous Muslims, the angels, the prophets, the martyrs, they intercede on the day of the judgment, but none of them would intercede for a non-believer. Because Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ يَرْتَضَى. They don't intercede except for those whom Allah accepted. So the non-believer, even if he is close to you, and you die as a righteous Muslim, and he's your brother, let us say, and he dies as a non-believer, you won't be able to benefit him on the day of judgment. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, a prophet and messenger, his son Kan'an, who died as a non-believer, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam won't be able to do anything for him on the day of judgment. This is the meaning of وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنْ يَرْتَضَى. So the intercession, الشَّفَاعَة, is specific for the believers. The non-believers do not get any shafa'ah from anyone. Not from the angels, not from the prophets, not from the righteous Muslims, not from anyone, because they died as non-believers. The most in need of the intercession are the major sinners, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I was given the choice to choose either that half of my nation will be admitted into paradise without torture or intercession, or I'll be granted intercession. And the Prophet said, I chose the intercession because it covers more people. Then he said, do you think the righteous ones are in need of the intercession? No. Rather, those who are in need of the intercession are the major sinners. Meaning, all those who are righteous will be admitted into paradise without torture. Now, the major sinners will be in need for the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if the righteous ones will go to paradise without torture and the major sinners will be granted the intercession of the Prophet, that will make up a number more than half of this nation. Also, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank, said, the covenant that Allah the Exalted took from Adam and his offspring is true. When Adam alayhi salam was in paradise, Allah Azza wa Jal created the souls of all the human beings before the bodies. All these souls were stored in the back of Adam. When Adam descended to earth and he was in Arafat, in a place called Nu'man al-Araq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the emergence of these souls from the back of Adam. They were all assembled in the land of Arafat called Nu'man. And they were in small sizes, shapes of human beings, but in small sizes, as small as the small red ants, in that size, but shapes of human beings. And Allah Azza wa Jal took the covenant from them by addressing them. As mentioned in the Quran, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took this covenant from all the offspring of Adam alayhi salam, and they all witnessed that no one is God except Allah. All the souls at that time professed, declared that no one is God except Allah. They all said, La ilaha ghayruka. Even the soul of Prophet Jesus alayhi salam was amongst them, as Ubay ibn Ka'ab, the companion, mentioned. The soul of the Pharaoh of Egypt, the tyrant, was amongst them, and it gave this covenant by declaring that there is no God except Allah. So all the souls were believing souls They believed in the Creator and they confessed that no one is God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then these souls were kept in a place between the earth and the sky. When the person is in the womb of his mother as a fetus, and the angel of the womb brings that soul and inserts it in this fetus, that soul doesn't remember anything from that covenant. So when the child is born, forgetting about that covenant that Allah took from them at that time. They don't remember anything about it. They're born forgetting. As for instance, you might do something, then you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, when you are asleep, you can't remember what happened with you during the day. That's it, you are an indifferent realm, as they say. Now you can't remember what had happened with you during the day. So when the baby is born, forgetting about this covenant. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu mauludin 'ala al-fitra fa abawahu yuhawidanihi aw yunassiranihi aw yumajjisanihi." What does that mean? Everyone is born on that covenant. When his soul admitted, that no one is God except Allah. Until this child reaches a stage where he becomes able to discriminate between things. In another narration, the Prophet said, "Hatta yu'ariba anhu lisanuhu." When he becomes able to express his needs, he would understand the question and he would give a proper answer at that time. Around 7. When he reaches that age, he becomes able to discriminate between things. His parents, if they are Jewish, they teach him Judaism and he becomes Jewish. If they are Christian, they teach him Christianity and he becomes Christian. If they are from the Magos, Majus, they will teach him and he will become one of them as well. If his parents are Muslims, they will teach him what is in agreement to that covenant that Allah took from them at that time when they were in that land of Arafat called Nu'man, in small sizes, when the souls admitted that no one is God except Allah. But one is unable to recall what happened with him at that time. So what happens? He will be on the fitrah. The hadith says everyone is born on the fitrah. That's the innate nature, meaning on the covenant. He is ready to accept what is in agreement with that covenant. He's ready to accept it. That's why, subhanAllah, no one can deny the fact that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. When you talk to people about Islam and you know how to talk to them and you give them the logic proof about the validity of Islam, they cannot deny it. You find them surrendering and accepting Islam. Because they are born on the fitrah. They are ready, meaning to accept Islam. The hadith doesn't mean everyone is born Muslim. No. Based on his innate nature, he is ready to accept Islam. Why he is ready to accept Islam? Because one day his soul, before it mixed with his body, and the body wasn't created at that time, only the soul, that soul at that time admitted and professed that no one is God except Allah. See, the soul of the Pharaoh of Egypt confessed at that time and said, no one is God except Allah. But once that soul mixes with the body, it forgets about that covenant that Allah took from them at that time when they were at the land of Arafat in a place called Nu'man al-Araq. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took another covenant from Adam and all the prophets who came after him, especially the five best messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Nuh. These are the five best messengers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ. So Allah took the covenant from the prophets and from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. So this covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from all the prophets is to convey Islam. That covenant is to convey Islam. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant from the prophets that if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were to emerge at that time, they have to support him and believe in him. That's why the prophets before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told their followers that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emerges, then you should believe in him, you must believe in him and follow him and support him. That's why if you read in Surah As-Saff about Prophet Isa alayhi salam, when he said to his people, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. So he did give him the good tidings that a messenger, a prophet, will come after him. His name is Ahmad. Now Ahmad, Muhammad, that's the same for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although he was known by the name Ahmad more than Muhammad in the previous books. In the previous books, he was known by Ahmad more than Muhammad. And this is proof from the Quran that Prophet Isa alayhi salam told the people that if they remain alive until the time comes when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emerges, then they have to support him and follow him. Also, when Tubba' al-Awsat As'ad al-Himyari, who was a king of Yemen before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his son was killed by some people from around Medina. His father Tubba' became extremely upset and he said that I will destroy al-Medina, the Medina of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He prepared an army and he had a very, very big army that if he were to make them stand in lines, the beginning of it will be in Yemen, the end of it will be in Ash-Sham. He has a big army at that time. So he came to destroy Al-Medina. And he swore that he will not leave one palm tree without rooting it out. He will not leave the house standing. He will knock him down. When he reached the boundaries of Al-Medina, some of the scholars at that time, meaning those who read in the Torah what Prophet Musa alayhi salam told about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were true believers in Musa alayhi salam. So the true followers of Musa alayhi salam were believers, were Muslims. And they read in the Torah that Allah revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when the king of Yemen, Tubba, came to destroy Al-Madinah, they obstructed him and they went out and they said to him, "You can't do this." He said, "They killed my son. I want to destroy it. I will not leave one stone or brick on top of another brick. I will root out all the palm trees." They said, "You can't do this, because this city will be the city of the last prophet. He will immigrate to it." Then he said, "Tell me more about this prophet." They told him, and he embraced Islam. Tubba embraced Islam. And he said some verses of poetry, the people of Al-Madinah had memorized from him. He said, شهدت على أحمد أنه رسول من الله بار النسم ولو مد عمري إلى عمره لكنت وزيرا له وابن عم وجاهدت بالسيف أعداءه وفرجت عن صدره كل غم. He said this type of poetry and the people of Medina memorized them. شهدت على أحمد. See, he said Ahmad, because that was the famous name of the Prophet. شهدت على أحمد. I witnessed that Ahmad is a messenger of Allah, sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ مُدَّ عُمْرِي إِلَىٰ عُمْرِهِ. If my life will be extended to the time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emerges, I'll be by his side and I'll be like a cousin for him, meaning he will support him. And he will fight all those who will oppose him and be his enemies. So he will defend the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These verses of poetry were memorized by the people of Medina. One of them, in one of those who memorized these verses, was Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. That's why people started repeating these verses of poetry until the time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emerged, and they were saying these verses of poetry. Tubba then became a good Muslim, and he was the first one to put cover for the Kaaba. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do not swear at Tubba because he had embraced Islam." In another narration, "Do not swear at As'ad al-Himyari because he was the first one to cover the Kaaba." Not the black cover in the past, it had a different color. They used to have different colors for the Kaaba. So in the previous books, they knew about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he will emerge and he will go to Medina. That description was mentioned in the previous books. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us steadfast on the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and make our end as righteous Muslims. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.